sixth chapter of the book of Jeremiah. If you'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, I'm going to read a fairly lengthy portion of scripture, but I'm going to start reading at verse number 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. I'm going to stop there a moment and say to you, I know when someone is reading the Bible, it's a little bit hard to maybe keep your mind on what is being said, but I wish you would be very carefully listen to what the scripture says, what God is saying in this wonderful chapter. And verse number 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned in unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregations, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before the people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbors and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, and they are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands waxed feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth unto the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentations, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. And I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous, revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Listen especially to these two verses now after he's give that indictment against Jerusalem. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful, wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Thank you. I'm sure that you worked mightily here this morning in the services here. Thank you for that. And thank you, Father, for our preacher as he preaches the Bible, the Word of God to us. Once again tonight, this preacher needs your help. I need your power and your wisdom. And I ask you to help me to be a blessing to these people. And I pray this in the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the wonderful Son of God, God the Son. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A few months back, my wife and I and my two brothers, Marvin and Herschel, and their wives met in Fillmore, Indiana. Now, if you don't know where Fillmore is at, you need to find that out. That's a very, very important place. But anyway, it's just a little kind of burg in the road, and not a whole lot there. But anyway, we met at a little restaurant there that they have there, kind of one block off of the main drag there in Fillmore. And we met and we eat together and we fellowshipped, and for maybe an hour, hour and a half, somewhere like that, which we do quite often anymore. We're getting down to where we think we better see each other as much as we can, you know, or we won't be seeing each other here. But anyway, so we did that, and we spent some time together. And as I walked out that restaurant, I looked down the road about probably 200 foot, and there's the corner there where I, and in fact, there's not a street in Fillmore. There's not a whole lot of them there anyway, but there's not a street in Fillmore that I haven't rode my bicycle and walked and spent a lot of time there. And I looked down just a little ways, maybe from here to the back of the church, and a little further maybe, and I looked in the corner of where there used to be a blacksmith shop. And I still remember going by as a young man, a young boy, and some of my friends, and we would stop and watch the blacksmith as he worked there in his little shop. And he had a round container that had coals in it, and he would take horseshoes or whatever it was he was working on, and he would put them in the fire, and then put them on an anvil and beat them and shape them and whatever he was doing. We thought that was fascinating. And you'd notice once in a while he would kind of reach over with his foot and he'd hit a pedal. And that pedal was fastened to a bellow, if you know what a bellow is. A bellow is one of those things kind of shaped, like this. And it has air thing at the end of it, and when you squeeze it together, it would push air out, and it would push air into the coals. And as soon as he did, well, those coals would become very hot because that air was shoved into them, and that's the way he kept the coals very hot, so he could put the metal in there and get it really, really hot, and then he would shape it. Well, In the scriptures here, it talks about the bellows. The bellows was burned. Now, if he did not have those bellows to keep that fire hot, he could have never done the work he done. Because that's what kept the fire hot enough for him to do the work. Now, here in the scriptures, when God talks about the bellows being burned, he was talking about a man by the name of Jeremiah, the prophet. Here, the Jeremiah was the bellow. He was that one that was blowing forth the word of God on Israel and keeping the hot fires of judgment against them. And they said, what if the bellows are burnt? What if they're destroyed? What's going to happen? And the whole thing about it was the bellows in this case was Jeremiah. And God said, you know, the bellows are burnt. And you look here in verse number 30, he identifies Israel as a mass of metal. He calls them reprobate silver. And so he's looking at them. They were supposed to be pure ore. They were supposed to be pure silver, but they weren't. And so God had to put them in the furnace of fire to purify them. And I think probably most everybody in here has probably been in that fire one time or another, because that's the way God purifies us. He puts us in the furnace and turns the heat on and purifies us. So here we find he also talked about the lead. That was a lead flux that was put into the metal to help bring the impurities to the top so they could be scraped off and the metal would be then melted and pure. And God said the lead burned. The lead flux just burned. The bellows that was keeping the fire hot burned. Now, God's got a lot of bellows around. I've been one for a few years. Preachers are bellows that preach to us the word of God and keep us under the word of God, listening to the word of God and keeping us where we've got to realize that there's things in our life that needs to be straightened out. That's the way God works. So he was doing that, of course, with Jeremiah. But before the metal would melt, the bellows burned. Now, whether you realize it or not, that happens quite often. In the days of Noah, he preached for 120 years, and the metal never did melt. Never did. Isaiah cried out, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" We find it said of John the Baptist was a bellow in his time that kept the fires on Israel and upon those Roman Empire, and pretty soon the bellows got burnt. His head got cut off before the metal melted, and of course we can see that in Stephen's life, where Stephen preached wonderful sermon there in the book of Acts. Wonderful sermon. Stephen preached, and they stoned him to death before the metal melted. The bellow burned. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, oh, what a wonderful, I even hate to call him a preacher, but he was God the Son, and he was the Son of God, but a great preacher. And as he preached, the metal was not melted. And they finally took him to a cross and hung him on a cross and took his life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, sometimes the bellows, they melt. They burn before the metal melts. Now, God is so long-suffering with us, and that's the way it's his nature. He's long suffering. But let me say to you, there comes a time when God
runs out of patience and decides that enough is enough. Enough of the bellows has been burnt, and God is tired of it and begins to deal in other ways. And so I'm just saying this tonight to you, because there's bellows sent to each and every one of us. We're just not, preachers are not just bellows. God's got all kinds of bellows to come in our life to keep us where we ought to be, and to cause us to stop and think about what God is doing in our life and what he wants to do in our life. And he keeps after us, you see. So what does that tell us? Well, that tells us some things. So what if you've been ridiculed? So what if you've been misrepresented? So what if you've been persecuted? So what if you've been shown disrespect? So what if you've had difficulties in life? So what? Folks, God sends bellows to straighten us out. All of us. And so what? It's been a little tough. Is that a reason to quit? Is that a reason to stop? Of course not. You know, it's so foolish today in Christianity. I mean, it really is. I'm just telling you, thank God for these people. Thank God for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God for you. I'm just saying, though, it's so silly. It just takes nothing anymore to hurt somebody's feeling, and they'll just walk off somewhere and go down the road somewhere. What a mess. You understand what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. Foolish. So what? You've been hurt. Big deal. Jesus hung on a cross. Amen. Hung there, and he did it for you and for me. And so that's a very minor thing, you see. So the bellows burn, and the metal is not melted. Our work is not in vain. Listen very carefully, folks. The word of God, when it is preached, it does two things. It sometimes, and thank God, oh, we've seen some wonderful, wonderful conversions around here lately, Pastor. My goodness, you mentioned, I can't remember, 90 some odd or something. I may have that wrong, but in you know, this year, and oh my, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the blessing of God? You know, that's just wonderful. God is good. But let me tell you what preaching the gospel does. It wins people to Christ, but it also confirms people to hell. See, you can either get saved and accept the gospel of Christ, or the preaching of the gospel will confirm your whole soul to an eternal hell forever and ever and ever. Because you see, you're given a chance to receive Christ as your Savior, you see. But if you refuse to do that, you're just absolutely saying no to God, and one of these days you'll have to spend an eternity outside of God's presence in a place called hell, lake of fire. You understand? Now, that's not what God wants. God wants you to get saved. God wants you to turn to him and be saved. But he sends bellows into our life constantly to stir our hearts. And you've been there. Don't tell me you haven't. You're sitting there today. I've sat out in a pew. I've heard the word of God preached, and I've just kind of passed it on. And then God brings something else my way and says, you better listen, son. Amen. Amen. See, that's what God does. And he keeps after us. So anyway, we've just got to remember, God is long on being provoked. He's long-suffering. But beware when he is provoked. We think of our God, and he is. He's a long-suffering, wonderful, loving, kind, gracious, wonderful God. And he is. He's good all the time. But let me say to you, don't push him too far. You see, he gives us opportunities, gives us chances in our life to get things straight, get sin out of our life, you see. And to get it taken care of. That's God's gracious love and kindness to us. by giving us that opportunity. You understand? That's good that God does that. God is good. But listen to me. You and I better be careful. We don't want to push him too far. Because there's a place where God said enough is enough. You see, the bellows that's been pushing you and working with you may just get burned up. And the metal may not be melted. You see, God is trying to melt us. You've got to remember something. We know Jesus as the Lamb of God, don't we? That take away the sin of all the world. But let me say to you, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And them same face that wept over Jerusalem, it's that same face that the people in the book of Revelation cried out for the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from that very same face, the face of the Son of God. Now, folks, I'm not saying that there's anything that you need to be straightened out about, but I don't know why else God would have had me preach this tonight. Amen? And if there's not a thing, you can just praise God and thank God and praise his name and all of that. But if there is, it's just another bellow preaching to you tonight. And saying if there's something in our lives that needs to be straightened out, we need to do it. We need to get it straightened out. See, I found out a long time ago, the Bible is true. I preached a sermon it's been years ago now, that I've made the greatest decision in my life when I decided I was just going to believe the Bible. Yes, I'm just going to believe the Bible. You say, well, didn't you always believe the Bible? Well, yes, but I'm like a lot of folk. I was like a lot of folk. I just kind of wanted to believe the part I wanted to believe. Then I decided I better just believe it all because it's all God's word. And I found out that God means exactly what he says, and he'll do exactly what he says, you see, no matter what. That's what God will do. And he expects us to mind the word of God over and over. Even in this book, in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, he talked about rejecting the Bible, the word of God, rejecting his word. You see, and if we don't be careful, we reject the word of God. You say, oh no, I believe it. Well, just be careful, because as you read the word of God, those are commandments. God's word is commandments to us. And many times we'll just kind of slip some of those away and not pay much attention to them when they're just as plain as day. So God wants us, you see. And so when we're not doing right, he sends some bellows, to help the fire get hotter. Amen. He turns up the temperature. And let me say something to you, but because listen, I've been where you sat, and I want to talk to you about a preacher, about our pastor, just a moment. You see, what happens is we begin to think, because we get used to him preaching, and we get to thinking sometimes we can just take it or leave it. You know, he's the preacher. Yeah, I know what he says. But you forget something. He's a man of God, sent by God to preach to us the Bible, the word of God. You got to remember that. It's so easy to just look at him as an individual and someone who kids around with us a little bit, but he's a man of God. And when he's preaching the Bible, the word of God, he's God's messenger. He's the ambassador that God has sent to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And all of us had better remember it. Amen? You believe that? He's the bellows that God sent to this pulpit to keep that stream of air of the word of God going at us, and so that the fire will stay hot, you see, so God can do a work. Amen? Now, I want you to remember that, because it's too easy to pretty soon just look at him as a man, and he is. He doesn't expect to be anything else, but he's a man of God, sent by God to bring the Word of God to us so that we'll be better for Jesus than we've ever been before. Amen. You agree with that?
See,
there are those whom God's mercy will never melt. You remember Pharaoh and all the plagues that God sent there into Egypt? And Pharaoh's heart was never melted. Never was. It just got harder and harder, you see. And so God took Moses finally out of that land, took him into the wilderness, you see, with the people of Israel for 40 years. There's people who refuse to melt. The bellows are sent, but they absolutely refuse to melt. I don't know if there is or not, but there may be someone in here tonight just like that. That's just sitting and listening, but passing it all off and thinking that they don't have to listen to this. Well, let me say something. You're dealing dangerously. Because he sends bellows to us and keeps the fires burning. You see, and we're supposed to listen before the bellows are burned up, you see. It's written of Ahaz. When he was afflicted, he sinned yet more and more. You see, some people just absolutely refuse to listen to the warnings that God sends. No, they just refuse. They just turn their heads aside, turn their hearts aside, and will not listen, no matter what happens. Well, you're only going to do that for so long. You're dealing with God. You're not dealing with men. You're dealing with God. Amen. And so you remember Jerusalem. You remember the problems that Jerusalem had right before the destruction came. Rivers of blood run in that city. And yet there was plagues and famine and pestilence that came to Jerusalem over and over and over. And they wouldn't listen. And finally, God sent in an army of Nebuchadnezzar and just simply destroyed the place. You see, there comes a time when God says, that's all, that's it. That's what worries me about America. No, I'm serious. It worries me about America. You see, we've been warned over and over and over and over again. We've been warned and warned and warned and given opportunities to turn our hearts back to God. And let me say, the majority of America is not turning their hearts back. We was preaching down in Huntingbird. Thank you, son. Huntingbird this morning, and in the Sunday school lesson, I didn't teach the Sunday school lesson. Brother Pastor Tippy taught it, and they was talking about witnessing, and it was amazing. No, it was a good lesson. Good lesson. Good. It was amazing. Got to talking, and he began to ask some of the people why. Is it hard for them to witness? And they begin to be very honest. And some of the excuses, son, that was given. Now, they was honest. And one man said, I'm just lazy. That's what he said. He said, I'm just lazy. And that's what it is. Or I'd get out there and do something. But it was amazing that, you know, a lot of them had a reason, excuse, why they didn't go out and witness. And I'd just like to say something to you. You might be one of those. I don't know. But let me say something to you. That won't hold up at the judgment seat of Christ. There's not one of those excuses that will hold up at the judgment seat of Christ. You can say anything you want to. But when you and I stand before the Lord, there's none of those things will ever work as an excuse. God won't accept it. You understand? Why? Because he's commanded us to be a witness. He's commanded us to be a witness. Amen? And he's given us that command. And it's from the Bible, the Word of God. So what are we going to tell Jesus when we stand before him? You reckon he'll accept the fact that maybe we was lazy? Or that we didn't feel good? Or it was hard for us to witness? Hey, folks, it's really hard for all of us to, whether you know it or not. But that's no excuse. Amen. It's just no excuse. And God won't accept that. You understand what I'm saying? God won't accept. So what does God do? He sends an old preacher, 71-year-old preacher up here to get on you. Amen. Be a bellows and kind of blow some hot air on you. Say, quit using the excuses that you're using and don't tell us you haven't got time and all of those things. Listen, this preacher understands. He does. I'm 71 years old. I understand. When you get older, you do things different than you used to do. I used to run around here like a madman. My doctor caught me in 1996, and he looked me in the eye and he said, "Pastor Ross, you either get you a hobby or I'm going to bury you." That's what he said. He was, you know, just, he didn't hold back. And then he looked at me and said, "I mean it." Because he's going 7 days a week, you know, once in a while take a day off, run here, run there, didn't have an assistant at that time. And so I took up woodworking. It was a blessing. It was a help to me. No, I'm serious. It was a help to me. But I'm just simply saying, folks, you know, we can't use all these excuses. I do different now that I'm 71 years old than I did when I was 40. And I know I can't go like I did then, but my heart and dedication ought to be the same. In fact, it ought to be even greater. But the older I grow, more dedication I ought to have toward the Lord's work. It may not be that I'll be out there pounding the pavement every day and all of that, but the dedication that's in my heart toward the Lord's work ought to be greater. You see, as time goes by, you see. And so what happened is sometimes the bellows burn before God's children listen. Now, I'm just sharing some things with you. You see, God gives us instructions, and he don't usually do it in big, tremendous things that come into our life. A lot of times he'll just give us a little shake of his head. If you know the Lord, really have a relationship with him, you'll recognize it's him that's shaking his head. Sometimes he'll send a preacher to lift his finger and point at you. And it's God saying, you better listen up. Amen. You better listen up. You see, sometimes people will suffer maybe a little twitch of body pain. Don't mean much. But a lot of times it's God getting our attention. He's been trying to get my attention for a good little bit with all those twitches. I've got quite a few of them. But you got to remember something. God has ways of getting our attention. And usually it's more in a subtle way to begin with. A little trial in business. A little trial in our finances. A little light of affliction might come upon us. You say, oh, well, no, God is getting our attention. We better listen. You see, he's kind and gracious, folk. He is. He's good. He's kind and gracious. And he works that away. He'll send those light things into our life, and he expects us to listen. Because don't you remember he said he would guide us with his eye? Donna can walk into the room and kind of give me a little, and I know exactly what she's thinking. She does me the same way. You know why? Because we've spent 54 years together, being January, 54 years together. I know her well. And if you're going to listen and watch for the eye of God in your life, you're going to have to know him. You're going to have to know when it's him. Remember, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Do you remember that? That's a promise of God. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's God's promise. But if you read that whole psalm, Psalm 32, you'll find out that David had some getting right with God to do before God said that. He had some sins to take care of in his life. And then when he got all of those things taken care of, God said, now I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with mine eye. But I want you to tell you something else that he said. He also said in that same psalm, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and the bridle. You see, God says, if you won't follow my instruction, my teaching, my guiding, I've got a bit I can put in your mouth. I've got a bridle I can put on us. And God knows how to do that. You see, he'll either follow him, or he'll do like a horse that wants to run away. He'll put a bridle in his mouth to pull him back. God does human beings that way. Maybe not literal bridle, but let me tell you, God's bridle is pretty tough. And then the mule that won't get going, God said, I'll cause him to go. The old mule wants to hold up, not follow God. What God's trying to get all of us to do is just walk with him on a daily basis. Amen. You see, God wants to guide us with his eye. But let me guarantee you something. He will guide us with a bit and bridle. If we don't listen to him. Amen. You see, if you will not melt when God sends the bellows and the fire, he'll turn up the heat. Whew. God knows how to turn the heat up. Amen. Amen. Believe me, he knows how. It's not he wants to. He's putting you in a furnace of affliction sometimes to help purify us. And if we won't respond to that, he just kind of reaches over and turns the heat up. Amen. You ever been in God's furnace when he turned the heat up? Amen. Yeah, I've been there. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you by experience. God knows how to turn the heat up. Amen. Amen. Sure he does, you see. So I would say to us, we ought not to let it be said that the bellows burn before we melt it. Amen? Don't you agree with that? Amen. Folks, listen, it's all right. It's all right, really. It's all right if the preacher is preaching at you and trying to tell you to just make sure you get right with God. That's all right. That's what God sent me to do tonight. And if you're perfect and you don't have any problem, then bless your heart. I don't believe you, but if that's the way you are, it's all right. You just go on. Amen. And God will turn the heat up in your life. Amen. Sure he will. And then let me just take a moment or two to talk about the unsaved. You know, the unsaved, they've got bellows in their life too that keeps them going. Sometimes it's prestige. Sometimes it's wealth. Sometimes it's pleasure in life. That's what keeps them going. Sometimes it's even religion. But let me tell you something. All of those will go out at death's door. They'll go out. There'll be no more. So I would suggest to you that if you're unsaved, that you, in a humble spirit, and that's the only way a person gets saved. Don't you think, Pastor, you humble themselves before God. Humble themselves, recognizing that they're sinners, lost, hopelessly lost, and they need a wonderful Savior who's Jesus Christ the Lord, who loves them and wants to save them. What a wonderful thing. You see, if you're not saved here tonight, you ought to get saved tonight. You ought to get the invitation here, even before, I don't care. Just, you ought to get saved. You ought to trust Jesus. You say, well, everybody thought I was saved. It don't make any difference what everybody thought. If you're not saved, you just ought to get saved tonight. You ought to trust Jesus and get ready for heaven. Amen. See, that's what you ought to do. That's why God sends preachers like your preacher and hollers at you about getting saved and week after week after week after week. That's what he's supposed to do. Amen. And if you are saved, you know it. Yeah, you know it. You know it if you're saved. God bears witness in your heart that you're the child of God, you see. Amen. And then, of course, the bellows that keep the Christian zeal alive. I wonder about that sometimes. There's a lot of short-term excitements in people's lives. I see sometimes, and listen, I'm not knocking this, please. You listen to me. But I see revival meetings come and evangelist comes and he gets us all stirred up. And that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to come and stir the flock up and get us all thinking we're unsaved, need to get saved, and thinking we're not right with God and we need to get up an altar and get right with God, you know, and he stirs our hearts and all of that. But then when he leaves, pretty soon we're just back to our ways we used to be. And I've thought about that a lot of years. I've thought about that. I think sometimes the evangelist becomes the bellow instead of the Lord. The individual, the man, comes in and he preaches, and pretty soon we get excited and we let him stir our hearts up, and then after he's gone, we just kind of go back the way we was. We've got the wrong bellow. We've got to let the Lord do that in our hearts. And when then the evangelist leaves, it won't matter. Because the Lord never leaves. Sometimes, if you don't be careful, sometimes the pastor of the church becomes our bellow. No, he don't mean to. But sometimes we let him become the bellow that keeps us going. That's not what God wants. And he's never preached in such a way that he would want us to do that. He wants our hearts to love God and walk with God, you see. But sometimes we get all caught up, and I understand that with new Christians. New Christians, you trust and believe in your pastor and you know you depend on him. That's good, because you need to grow in the Lord. But there has to come a place where it's the Lord.
Amen.
Period. That's it. See, it's the Lord.
Amen.
You see. And he must be our bellow. I know people all over this community. I know people used to give and attend church and supposedly walk with God. And they're still, now they're in their homes and they're cold and slack and doing nothing for God whatsoever. What happened? What was their bellow? What was it that kept them going? It wasn't God. Because when God gets into your life and you begin to trust in him, you don't have to worry about anybody else being your bellow.
Amen.
It's God that keeps you going, you see.
Amen.
You see, I found out that my obligation to Christ is not any less today than it was 10 years ago.
Amen.
Or 40 years ago. He's my Savior. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who takes care of me.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. I really do. Because God used you to help get us a car. But let me tell you something. It was God that gave it to us.
Amen.
No, it was God that gave it to us. He's been doing things like that for me for years and years and years and years and years.
Amen.
But did he use you? He sure did.
Amen.
But it was God that directed. God done it. Amen. So when God becomes that bellow in your life that just keeps you going, you'll be in a lot better shape. You see, if you just trust God, believe in him, trust him, you see. See, I found out I'm not out of debt to the Lord. I'm still in debt to him. I know I can't pay it, but I'm still in debt. He paid for my sin debt. Amen. And he done it, you see. I believe it was right for me to live for Jesus back in 1966 when I first got saved. I believe it's right for me to live for him today. You see, I jumped into the battle back in 1966. Don and I got saved, and we just jumped into the battle, didn't know what we was doing. No, we really did not know what we was doing. We just jumped in, started working. And I believe that that's what we ought to do today. Just jump in and do what you can do. See, what you can do. You see, so I found out that Christ is just as lovely today as he's always been. And always will be. I found out that his precious blood has not lost its power. Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. See, when we first got saved, I don't know about you, but we just kind of wanted to see other folks saved. Was you that way? I got saved, and I went over to Anaconda Aluminum Company. That's where I was working, and began to witness, began to tell people, led some people to Christ at dinner time. But I just wanted everybody saved. And I thought everybody surely would want to be. Well, that's not true. But anyway, I found out. But I tried. I done my best just to witness. I believe that when I done that back then, I ought to still do that every opportunity I get. I carry tracts with me. Do you carry tracts with you? Huh? I carry these tracts with me. You see, I used to carry those pink and the. Yeah, and then when I found out I couldn't see, I went up to a bigger print because I thought everybody else was blind too. And so I've got these big print. God's Simple Plan of Salvation. If you want one, I'll give you one. And I keep a supply of those, and I just hand them out everywhere I go. Yeah. Thousands I've handed out. I have no idea how many I've handed out. Don't care. Don't matter. But I've handed them out ever since for the last about 38 years. Just hand them out wherever you go. Why? Because I believe that's what I'm supposed to do. I believe we're just supposed to tell people about the Lord, you see. Now, I know something. I know people are going to hell. They're going to hell today just as it was 20 years ago today. And I believe that all of us, our ministries change. I understand that. And believe me, they do. But the dedication of our heart and our desire to see people saved should never change. I believe as a tree grows older, it ought to bear more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, does the young boy care his burden, and we that are older care none? Sometimes we put on these young people and put on these young individuals, young converts, that they ought to really get out there and get it, and they should. But don't you think that we too, in our hearts, ought to continue to love God and want to see souls saved? Amen. We ought to set the example, amen, to the best of our ability. Now listen to me. I'm not saying older folk ought to be out there pounding those doors all the time. I'm telling you, we can't do it like we used to. But we can still do our part. Amen. And we may not be out there every day doing it, but we can still do our part. It's up to us to do that, you see. And I don't believe the new converts are supposed to march to battle while the veterans won't even hold up the banner. I believe it's our responsibility to hold up that old precious banner, the cross of Christ, and just keep holding it up. See, I don't think I'm supposed to serve God less when I'm real near serving him, going to be serving him for the rest of my eternity. I'm getting close to that. And I don't think I ought to stop serving him, but I ought to love him. And the dedication of my heart ought to be just to serve God, love God, do the best I can to see people saved. Amen. You see, the lost ought to melt. No, they ought to melt. They ought to realize they're lost. They ought to get saved. I'm just telling you that. I'm just a bellow telling you that. If you're lost, you ought to get saved. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're a Christian that you're not melted, the bellows has been sent over and over and over and over, and you just won't melt, why don't you just give in to God and do it God's way?
Amen?
Amen. You think that'd be a good idea?
Amen.
Amen. Well, what if the bellows are burnt? This old bellow's going to go home one of these days. Yes, I am. I'm going to go to heaven. It's a promise of God. He's promised I could go. Yeah, I'm going. Amen. I don't know when. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be tonight. Maybe next week. I don't know. But I know I'm going. And then one of these days, this bellow will pass off the scene. Yes, he will. That's just the way it works. You see, what I'm saying is we better listen to those that God sends our way and tries to stir the flame of excitement in serving God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I sure thank you again today for your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these dear people tonight. They sat attentively and they listened. And Lord, I just ask that you help each one of us to love you more and to recognize the bellows that you send into our life to help us, Lord, to just get on fire for God. So we just put this into your hands, asking you to save the lost. And Father, help we as God's children to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.